It is an honor to be here. I hope my contribution to our discussions will be useful. And without further introductions, let me try to say a few words about the strategic and operational concerns relating to the prospective deployment of space-based weapons designed to attack terrestrial targets and what specific capabilities or concepts do this entail. I would also try to address the issues of space-based systems that are, well, not weapons, but they enable terrestrial military capabilities. Well, space-to-Earth threats are an extremely important topic. And to some extent, it is even more crucial than Earth-to-space or space-to-space for one single reason. This is basically the foundation for the so-called concept of the ultimate high ground. This concept itself is very questionable, but the idea that one can deploy something to Earth orbit or even beyond and be capable of striking any target on Earth's surface is perceived as both very desirable and extremely threatening. This whole narrative can be separated into several buckets. On the most strategic level, we have the idea that nuclear weapons can be deployed into space and thus increase one's nuclear strike capability. Luckily, at the moment, this is the only type of space weaponization that is, well, explicitly prohibited. But from time to time, it reappears in discussions, either as a threat that might evolve from deployment of conventional strike systems at low Earth orbit, or as yet another tool for survivable second strike capabilities from high orbits where those can hardly be reached. The second bucket deals with the threats to nuclear deterrence and strategic stability, which is currently based on assured second strike capability. Here we have, well, two and a half parts of the problem. First, space-to-Earth weapons can be used in disarming strikes against launchers. Second, those weapons can disrupt or even destroy nuclear command control communications, or NC3, including the decapitating mission of the country's leadership. So those won't be able to actually pursue or engage in nuclear retaliation. Also, and now let's talk about this small half, the whole idea of space-based strike assets as a part of overall missile defense architecture can be considered space-to-Earth, at least in part, to some extent. Because if these space-based strike assets, being a part of missile defense, if they can take out the missiles at boost phase, well, it is almost terrestrial. Third bucket is the space-based strike assets for conventional conflicts. Here, one can imagine the capability to destroy any target anywhere at any time, depending on the number of those strike platforms and their orbits, of course. For such strikes, one can think about counterproliferation missions or support for allies in conflicts with third powers or punitive actions. And also, well, decapitating strikes that I've mentioned with relation to nuclear deterrence. Hopefully, we are still somewhat away from all of those buckets. But the ideas are there. And as the ideas are there, and we have growing capabilities, many countries invest in countermeasures, just in case. So we see a driver for the arms race in outer space, which hopefully we'll be able to prevent. However, what we see right now, and it already has become one of the most remarkable qualities of the modern warfare, is the space layer is crucial for supporting terrestrial warfighting. Space assets provide intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, or ISR, and even targeting, as well as communications, both on tactical, operational, or strategic levels. These capabilities are ever-growing. And, well, the most important part of this issue is that there is always some level of deniability in case, for example, sharing of the ISR or even targeting data with allies engaged in warfighting. Moreover, we see a growing number of commercial actors in this field. All this leads to possible spillover of this or that conflict because sometimes even commercial actors can provide the data that is crucial for military operations, and then the country that perceives itself as a target for these operations might engage in fighting these third parties. At the same time, we also see efforts to develop countermeasures against all sorts of the space terrorist capabilities. And these countermeasures can be roughly separated also into several groups, although those groups are extremely interconnected. First, we can speak about so-called soft measures, which include concealment, dispersal, and shifts in operational concepts for terrestrial warfare team. Second, those can be enhanced by technological measures, which include hardening of these other targets, decoys, and electronic warfare capabilities. Third, we can speak about hard, active countermeasures aimed at disrupting adversary space-related networks through cyber or electronic warfare, as well as kinetic means, in order to degrade and or even destroy those operational capabilities. And this is, again, the problem where the support of this or that country engaged in war fighting by sharing space capabilities can lead to a spillover of the war fighting to third powers. Again, those countermeasures I mentioned, they have limits to their effectiveness and can be employed as a combination to overcome these limits, if in case the party that is engaged in developing these countermeasures wants to achieve any level of success. My final point would be about the role of international community, and especially this open-ended working group I have an honor to speak to. We can hardly expect readiness to immediately limit one's space capabilities for the sake of world peace. Military power is, unfortunately, once again perceived as a usable tool to achieve political goals by many actors. And the multipolarity we've long expected to arrive is, well, by no means a more peaceful environment. Again, unfortunately, but, well, this is where we are now. However, this doesn't mean that discussing one's concerns and capabilities is in vain. My personal biggest expectation is that major actors in the field of, well, if not space weapons, but space military capabilities, will be able to hear each other and avoid misperception and miscommunication of intended signals and developing capabilities. This is the only step, or probably the first step, that we can make right now to try to prevent the arms race in outer space. Although, again, I understand the limits of what can be done at the moment. Let us stop, and I'm looking forward to our discussion. Thank you.
I thank Mr.